Yeah, boy, it is the weekend, baby. Good morning. And we are live on a Friday. Simpiwe and I are in the studio ready to keep you busy and hopefully make you think, smile, laugh, fart, whatever.
Either way, we'll take it.
Right? Yeah, whichever of those it is, we're here for you. All right, everybody. We made it to the end of a good week. I hope it's been a good week for you. I hope you've been busy, 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 and I hope you got all the things done that you wanted to do. Got bad news, though, if you haven't, because you've got just today to get all that shit done. TikTok, you know, going to make things happen. So I did see, going straight to the comment section, we're not going to waste any time this morning, B saying, I was yesterday years old when I realized there are no shows on a Tuesday and Thursday anymore. I didn't think Tuesdays could get any worse, but here we are. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me, Simpiwe? What's been happening for you this week?
I'm expecting a delivery today. I'm really happy.
What, is it something you ordered online?
No, I didn't really order it, but like
someone else ordered it for you?
I wish. No? But I will be asking for, you know, something. I'm getting a new phone today.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
What kind of phone?
iPhone 15.
Oh, my God. There's one thing. So I haven't got that. But everybody who has,
yes,
they say to me, the one thing you really have to get used to now is all of your devices now need to be USB-C or whatever, right?
Yes.
Big pain in the ass.
It
apparently
is. And, no,
you
know,
all your
is
cables. You must throw away. In fact, give me all your old cables. I'll take them. Jeez, I bought two cables the other day because, you know, they always cost
an arm and a leg?
Yeah. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, right? These people are taking the piss. For two cables, it was like 600 rand or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
And if you buy the Fong Kong ones, they never last.
Yeah, so you're constantly buying and they're like 150 and you're like, this will last me, I'm sure, 3 months. Last 2 weeks at most.
Right.
So I'm excited. I'm getting a new phone. I'm getting upgraded, which is really cool. If you want to buy me a cover, buy, you know, screen protector, because that also costs an arm and a leg. I will take those donations gladly.
But it is exciting. I mean, again, you know, a lot of people will say, yeah, these phones are so expensive and it's such a waste of money and everything else. But I don't think there's a single thing you use more in your life. Today, you can't get away with not having a phone that works. And if you've got the best one, if you've got the latest one, even if, and we know Apple's run out of ideas, right? So we know that they aren't going to suddenly be able to charge from the air or any of those things that we still dreamed about. Remember those days where we still believed that technology would just keep improving exponentially forever? Like nothing's happened. Oh, by the way, did you see that Apple ad that everybody got hugely hot under the collar about?
Oh, the one with the actual Apple and they talk.
Where they crush all the stuff.
Oh, no, I haven't
They
seen
crush
that.
The musical instruments. They crush the, like, the sculptures, all these expressions of human creativity. And they destroy them all to squeeze them flat into an iPad, the new iPad Pro. And this ad just did not go down well. People are like, you sons of bitches. Are you saying that all human creativity can be squeezed into one flat little nasty iPad?
Yes.
Pretty much.
That's what they say. Yes. Like,
yeah, but
you can do everything.
But it backfired badly. It was like really the wrong messaging for Apple. So, of course, what has Samsung done? They've gone and they like walk. This woman walks into a studio and it's all a mess. It's like everything's been crushed and destroyed and there's broken instruments. And she picks up this broken guitar and she starts playing it. And like she plays this beautiful little piece, but she's reading the music off of the Samsung pad. And she's like, see, that's better. That's clever because I really do think like you can, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Like Apple have tons of money. Like they're the most, they're the biggest brand in the world by a long way. And they have so much cash in the bank that they don't have to worry about that at all. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They can still fuck it up. So whoever their ad agency was, you guys screwed it up, morons.
It seems like they're not the only ones that are getting like the ads wrong. I haven't seen it yet, but I saw a lot of people on TikTok talking about, is it Bumble, that dating app?
Oh,
that
ad was a big story this week.
Yes, sure. And then now they've apologized. So Bumble has come out to say, you know, they
just explain what they did wrong. Because you know what, whenever anyone talks about these campaigns that go wrong, they never say what the campaign was. And especially if it was offensive, they take it down. And then you're like, but I don't know why people were upset. So with Bumble, they put up these big billboards all over New York and in all sorts of other places in America, basically saying, you don't have to be a nun. You don't have to be celibate.
Yeah, I think it's a vow of celibacy is not the answer.
A vow of celibacy is not the answer. So, I mean, obviously, there are not a lot of people in the world who've sworn off sex for all time. But it's kind of like, you know, if someone has, they're not looking for Bumble. So your target market's all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people were just like, do me a favor. Give me a break. I don't need your stupid app to find meaningful relationships. Well, I think some people probably do. But no one will admit it, right?
Yes.
So anyway, it went down in flames.
Yeah. Another company that got it wrong. Damn.
And then while we're talking about ads, since this came up, I see Carl DeSantos in the comments, as always. Good man, Carl, says, have you seen the latest KFC ad? It's so good. They're on Marion Island Research Center. It's really good. So yeah, it's a beautiful ad. They filmed it beautifully. Whoever did that deserves some kudos. And then these people are just like desperate for KFC. And anyone who has been alive in South Africa, it doesn't matter if you know, like we all know it's really terrible stuff and they fry it in oil and it's probably going to kill us. But man, when you get that craving and you smell it as you drive past the KFC, you're like, oh, all my willpower. Lord, guide me through this. Am I right?
Yeah, the best thing they could have ever done was introduce Zinger Wings. That is my kryptonite. Like, I'm just like, oh.
It's the batter. That's what it is. But well done to them. The ad actually features these people on the Marion Island Research Center, which is like miles away from anywhere.
Okay.
It's like one of the most distant places on earth you could possibly end up in. And these people are just like, watching, they're like video conferencing with people back home and they watch everybody eating, which is one of the cruelest things you can do. You know, if Simpiwe and I had to start the show this morning with a big, like 5-course breakfast, and we were eating like the most delicious, beautiful food, and everybody at home had to watch that, I think it's just the cruelest thing. I saw a terrible, terrible video on Instagram yesterday of this enormously fat girl.
No.
Yes.
No.
Taking with a spoon. She was like, I don't know if it's cereal or whatever. And she's scooping it up. But you hear all the mouth noises. And she's almost like, she's so fat, she's crying because she knows what she's doing is probably just terrible. She's got like 3 days to live.
No, don't say that.
I'm telling you. But maybe I'll share it today. It's cruel. It's like, and she uploaded this herself. It's not like anyone put it up there to make fun of her. Anyway, Congo Chris says, Bumble marketed itself as the only app that lets women make the first move because men making the first move is misogynistic. It was a huge flop because ladies complained making the first move is hard. Well, yeah, welcome. So look, you've got to make your mind up, right? Either you're going to be this strong, independent woman, single ladies, or you're going to say, actually, I want a guy to make the first move, and I'm okay with that. Whichever it is, I don't mind, girls, but just make your mind up. Because as a guy, you're not sure what to do then. Let's say I really like you, and I'm dead keen on like making something happen. And then you screw it up by being one of those bitches like, I make the first move, which, by the way, would instantly put me off. I don't know about everybody else.
I don't subscribe to that. Just letting everybody know.
Yeah. And if you, what is wrong? By the way, why would a woman who is prepared to wait for the guy to come to her, that makes you the queen, right? Like, you're the one who's waiting. You're sitting there going, no, you bring it to me. Make an offer. Why should I make the offer? Right? I mean, I think that that's probably the superior position rather than the inferior position.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes and yes. Like, anyway. I agree with that. I'm not trying to make the first move. I mean, I will say this. A lot of the times, women like to play what hard to get. So they don't want to show interest when a guy is showing interest. Do away with that. Like, right. if you're liking the guy, you should be able to reciprocate the energy. That's something totally different.
Well.
But in terms of the first move, I mean, if you're liking on me, you think I'm cute, you think I'm all that, please shoot your shot because I know I won't.
Well, you've been raised well. Let's just put it that way. I saw you uploaded something of your gran the other day and she was like telling everybody what to do. She's exactly the way you described her.
And she's like, I don't care if you call the police because she was hitting me.
That's what she was, that's right. And we were talking about shumbocking. Hey, James, you ready for your shumbocking? How are we doing on that front? Okay, all good, he says. I've got a friend who is on all of those dating apps.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a red flag.
No, let me. Of course it's a red flag. He's a red flag person. He's my friend, but I wouldn't want to be a girl who dated him. Jesus. This guy, he lines them up. Like I joke with him every time I see him, and all of us, like in our little group of friends, we all take the piss out of him every chance we get. But this guy, basically, he has a calendar that's a separate color on his, like, iCal, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And he puts in all the appointments. Like, he's literally got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday,
Friday.
Are
these hookups?
Yes, of course they hook up. Do you think, what, he's looking for a relationship behaving like that? Oh, please. He's not looking for a relationship, but he's so good at dating. And really for him, he is the perfect case study. Like if Bumble or Hinge or whatever these other ones were, Tinder, if any of them ever want to have like a case study of how great their app could be for a guy who's just into hookups and is not looking for a relationship, I'll introduce you to this friend of mine. You guys could spend the rest of your life just researching him. And he's like the poster boy for all of those apps. He loves it. He doesn't want a serious relationship. And he meets all these amazing girls for hookups. Not interested in a relationship at all. He said, and they're all the same, by the way. He said, every app, it's all the same. He can put different filters on in different apps. So like if he wants this and doesn't want that, then he can put that on in certain ones and not on others. But I'm just fascinated. I've never been on any of these things, so I'm exactly the opposite in that respect. But I reckon there are people who've come up with like meaningful long-term relationships.
Few and far between.
Yeah, but there are. I mean, like there are a few. Mm. This guy, though.
Sure.
Jesus. No, it's something else. Mm. He does not care about that at all. Whatever happened to arranged marriages to make peace between two kingdoms? Yeah, I mean, Congo Chris is right. That's a very good formula, and we should be using that more.
Yes.
I mean, if I could sell you to a prince and you became the princess. No, you'd look very good in a tiara.
Thank you. And I think I'd be able to conduct myself very well.
Oh.
You know, articulate myself very well and speak for the people. I think I'd be able to do that job
She's auditioning right now.
Yes, I am.
So while we're talking about royalty, I'll get this out of the way quickly. We've spoken about this King Charles portrait, which is everybody's talking about. Just put it up on the screen, James. Look at this hideous.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now, why are you traumatizing me?
Look at this. So now, scary. It happens to be a pretty good portrait and not an unflattering one of his face. Mm-hmm. But everything this red, someone said in the comments when I saw it first posted, looks like the climate change protesters have already got to it.
Sure.
this red. It's just so bizarre. So, you know, there's this friend of mine and she's a big art person. She sent me this whole thing on it and who painted it and all this. Do you want to hear this? Are you interested?
Yes, because I also watched a video of someone trying to explain this particular portrait with the butterfly.
All right.
He was there for all three sessions and even the
okay, so
the thing that he's wearing, what it symbolizes and all
painted,
that.
It's painted by a guy called Jonathan Yeo, who's from England. He's a British artist, rose to prominence in the early 20s as a contemporary portraitist. He's painted Kevin Spacey, Dennis Hopper, Cara Delevingne, Damien Hirst, Prince Philip, King Charles, Queen Camilla, Tony Blair, a whole bunch of others. So she said, oh, no, you know, it's really great. I don't think so. I think it's probably the ugliest. I mean, there are worse ones, but this is one of the ugliest things I've seen. Someone in one of the British papers said, a literal tampon, the first official portrait of King Charles is getting roasted. I just think, what is the point of being a king if you can't get that standard portrait? He's got the uniforms, right?
Yes.
He's got the backdrops.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the palaces to do the pictures in.
Yes.
Like none of us do. Trust me, if Simpiwe had a palace, she'd be posting a picture every day.
Yes, I would. Rooms.
And if you had all the dresses, right?
Bridgerton, Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, you, Kate Middleton, you would put them all to shame. You'd be dressing up every 15 minutes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so this guy has the crowns, the uniforms, the rooms to pose in. He's got the all the you know, all the different accessories that the royal. What's the point of being the king if you must be portrayed like this in your official portrait? I think it's terrible. And this is the only picture I could find that's similar to that. Look at this. Yeah, there he is. Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars.
Doesn't that look exactly the same? That might have been the inspiration. I think so. If that's what they were going for.
It's so bad. Oh, killed it. Anyway, so I know that there are probably all kinds of art critics and art aficionados are going to tell me I'm a Philistine and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I will maintain my position, and that is that modern art is shit. Nothing about it is pretty. The people who are painting and calling themselves artists in the 21st century are a bunch of losers, to use Fikile Mbalula's term. And I'm not impressed. That's all I can say.
And you know what's scary? In 100 years' time, they're going to look at that portrait and just be like, "Ooh!"
They will. They'll be horrified. I mean, it's just, it's a really terrible. Even, by the way, you can go and look at the video of the unveiling of this thing.
He literally jumped.
He shits himself. He's like, scared. Whoa, what the fuck? Right?
So what must we do as the people? Mm-hmm. Like, if you are scared of thyself, I care.
Tracy says it's his first portrait. Considering his health, I really hope it's not his last. I'm not a critic, says Congo Chris, but I think they're trying to modernize the monarchy with elements of tradition. Would have been better if they went with the royal purple instead of regal red, in my opinion. Yeah, red is a dangerous color to use on anything. It signifies danger to us
Yes. In
every respect, which is why it's not a good idea to have a red car because they're involved in more accidents than any other kind of car. You can look this up and we can even get George to corroborate the evidence. But it's... with humans, if you're portraying humans, it's blood.
Yes.
And that's never a good sign. Anyway, Meg says red paint was on special at CTM.
Money is not a problem for the royal family, guys.
B says, I'm more disturbed that I find Charles good looking here. I'm shook. You know, it's a funny thing. I certainly don't know if Charles has ever been good looking. But I will say that some people get better looking as they get older and some people get worse. Most of us get worse. He looks more distinguished now. I mean, when he was younger, he looked really weird. He had those big ears and he had that funny sort of...
His body didn't fit him.
Yeah.
And then he had to grow into it.
Right. You know those people who, they look like an awkward teenager for far too long?
Yeah.
That was kind of him. And I feel... He's an example of somebody who gets better as they age. And I know he's not in the best of health now. They say he'll be fine, you know, the prostate cancer and everything. But he seems to be like a lot more distinguished looking and comfortable in his own skin now.
Yes.
Than he ever has been. Look, he's been preparing to be king for like 100 years. So I suppose
that also helps. You know?
If you do all that prep, it's gonna help. Morg says the fingers are not sufficiently sausage-like. I knew that was coming. Oh man. Ricky says apparently Richard Gere is still good looking. Well, again, there are people who maintain their looks for a lot longer. And there are people, by the way, I mean, I've got a friend who he's going a bit gray now. He's even younger than me, but he's going a bit gray and he looks very distinguished. Mm. Like for some guys, it's a good look. For some, it's a horrible look. And I think it depends entirely on the individual.
Yes.
I don't know that there's a hard and fast rule. Okay, the other big thing that everyone's talking about this week is the NHI, which the president signed into law this week.
Cupcake.
Well, you introduced this. Superior found this video. It's hilarious. Where someone actually calls him
Cupcake.
And he goes, hi. I mean, you could call him anything. I'm sure if it's a loud, busy room, you could say, and he'll go like, hi.
But he's so cute. You just see I have to say this, right? We have the cutest president ever, especially when he does that.
I don't know so much after signing.
No, he's cute, but he's not a great leader. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay, so here it is. Take a look at this. Tell me if you agree with Simpiwe. You think it's cute.
You see, he does the thing. He goes, he like,
yeah, well. Anyway, for anyone who doesn't know what the NHI is, it's the National Health Insurance. This week it became law. I'm not going to go into a whole long rant about this because I kind of did yesterday on the Burning Platform. Mm-hmm. But actually, it doesn't matter what the outcomes of this are because that's on the other side of what their real purpose in doing this is. The real reason for anyone in government to be behind this NHI is because they want more of your money. And that means everybody's money, not just those people who have private medical aid. What they're going to do is essentially levy a new tax on us. So just when you thought that the little bit of money you get to keep every month for working hard, your labor, your time, your effort, all those costs that it incurs you to get to work, to be professional, to make sure that you put in those hours to slave away, they want more of that. And they will take it by gun point or by force. And you don't have anything to say about it. So now, if you've been the kind of person who's been paying the medical aids, just that money's going straight to government now. That's what's going to happen eventually. It's going to take them a while to implement, but don't think it isn't going to happen. And for all those people who are screaming and crying and saying, oh, this is amazing, because now we're going to get free healthcare, good luck. You know, we've had government hospitals that are supposed to give you free healthcare up to now. How well did that work? And clinics and all those free doctors and nurses that are running around. Yeah, right. It's a disaster. It's a very, very bad idea. But I did see this very cool missive that was put out by the ANC because they're obviously very happy about the NHI. It's a big election campaign tool for them. They just before the election say, look, we've given everyone free healthcare, even though they won't. And here's what they put out yesterday. So anyone who's excited about this, to all South Africans, to assess your eligibility of the care you will receive under NHI, please send a stool sample to the following address. And then they give the address for the Thule House. So, you know what? There will be people who actually do.
Oh, my word.
Either because they're stupid or because they hate the ANC so much.
My word.
But there we go. That's what you need to do today.
Play your pod.
Yeah, play your pod. Send Cupcake your stool sample.
Send multiple even.
Yeah. Hey, how do you like this Cupcake? Send him a soft serve. Send him a soft serve in a little ice cream cup. Once you get it, stairs in the drive-thru.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Oh my God. Good luck, says Patrick. Private hospitals end up like public hospitals, assholes, and assholes for trying to steal more of our money for their looting. Well, that's the point. So, you know, you may be very optimistic about this. It doesn't matter, though, because the only part that the government's interested in is the taking your money part.
Mm-hmm.
The spending your money part, they've never been good at. And there's no way you can account for that. I mean, just look at any other thing that government has run in any other country. There isn't a country that does this well. Ask anyone who's under the NHS in Britain. There are massive problems there. It's not, you know, this world of unicorns and rainbows. It's Canada too. And as those populations age, guess what's going to start happening? The costs are going to start going up.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers of people in the population who are actually working will be reduced. And then it becomes unsustainable. In our country, it's always been unsustainable. Remember that you're already supporting some 20 million people that you don't know if you're a taxpayer with your taxes for social grants. Now you must also support those people for healthcare, and healthcare is expensive. Also, there are only three things you could do here. There's access, there's cost,
mm-hmm.
and there's quality.
Yes.
Now, you can only have two at a time. You can never have all three. So decide, do you want high costs and access? Do you want high costs and quality? Or do you want quality and high costs? Hang on, I messed that up. But the last one is the option of the other two.
You know what I mean.
And you have to choose. And yes. If you can't choose between those two out of three things, then you're not actually playing the game properly. With all the soft serve talk to Cyril, he could make one of those royal paintings, but all in brown. That's about right. Anyway, they're still going to take this legislation and test it in the courts. So yes. I don't think it's going to, you know,
and if the DA has anything to do with it.
You watch them. We are going to fight.
Yes, all the way.
Congo Chris says classic communism is a stone's throw away from the state-funded euthanasia that's happening in Canada. MSM, that's mainstream media, hiding that ball quite deliberately. Yeah, I don't know why people still think, and there are, I mean, there's supposedly smart people who I saw on social media yesterday just saying the dumbest things about this. Like, you can tell they don't actually know how the whole system works. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an expert either, but I have been paying attention to experts. And, you know, I don't know how dumb you have to be to think that this is the solution to your problems. Anyway, I see you want to talk about the black wife effect trend. Uh-oh, what is this? Here we go. Tell us all about it.
It is a TikTok trend that I've stumbled upon. And it is basically, it was started by husbands, particularly non-black guys. So white guys, Asian dudes, who are married. And they're basically, two black women. And they were putting up pictures of before they got married.
Right.
And after they got married. And I won't lie. Before they got married, they looked like bums. They looked homeless. They looked like that nerdy dude that you just wouldn't give attention to. And then after they got married, there is this glow up of note. Like, they are looking all swagged out. They're looking all sorts of sexy. I'm just like, okay. And what I took away from that trend is John Funimava, you are my type. You know, like, you're wearing the khaki shorts right now. But I can make it work. I can, if the vibes are vibing and you and I can at least communicate very well, I can upgrade you, sir, to look like my type. And that's what I took away from that trend. So check out the black wife effect, because
I think that sounds very, very good. I think a lot of men could do with a lot of help, frankly.
Yes.
There are guys, what you got to remember is that guys don't know anything about how to dress unless they're gay.
That's
the only...
yeah.
Like, don't tell me, like, you know a straight guy who dresses immaculately.
What are you talking about? Walks in the immaculate.
Look at him, he walks in. He walks in and goes, oh, I look fantastic. Here's Ben Karpinski, everybody.
Just working out, hoodie on.
All right. Switch to Ben. Look at how
please,
he's...
Look at this. He's
dressed to the nines. Oh, I'm trying to move you. Look at him.
Yeah,
you look great, Ben. You just rolled out of bed.
Interesting conversation to kind of walk into.
No, so CP was telling us something about something called the black wife effect. So they've got all these couples where the husband is like white or Asian or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they marry a black wife and she like upgrades them, basically.
Yes.
Makes them dress properly.
Is this a show like that Straight Eye for the Gay Eye for the Straight Guy used to be?
It should be, though. I mean, it would be a good show, I reckon.
I'm just hilarious. Saying, like, guys went out and posted the before and after, and clearly there's a common thread.
Listen.
And I'm just happy now that I can be like, you know what, John, if I see you in the streets, we can talk and I can still upgrade you to my type.
Look, I also think that most guys, it's weird that guys will just do what their wives or girlfriends tell them when it comes to dress.
They don't
care. Like, we really don't.
A lot of them look like blobs, though. So if you haven't got a shape, you need help. If you've got a shape, you can have an identity. You can pull off all kinds of things. We've seen it before. I mean, how many times have you seen, after Brad Pitt was in like some sort of big movie, the guy goes out in like a black bag afterwards? Yeah. Well, celebrities do it all the time because they look a certain way. They can pull off any look. If you look like a leftover pizza, you need help. And you need the right kind of clothes. And a woman will definitely help.
I reckon South African men are particularly bad dressers.
Mm. Mm.
I mean, I always bring up the fact that at the airport, you know, there was a time once where people used to dress up when they traveled.
What a time.
They used to wear
suits. What a time.
You'd never be seen dead walking onto a plane with anything less than a suit on. Now, I think that's a little ridiculous.
And a hat.
And a hat, of course. But now, it's become very ordinary. It's like getting on a bus that just flies. That's all it is. It's not for, you know, it's not for smart people. It's for everyone. Flying has become very ordinary. And therefore, the dress has gone down, obviously. You know, no one dresses up for something like that. If you're going to fly to Cape Town, it's a 2-hour flight. You might as well be in tracksuit pants.
And Crocs. Ugh.
Yeah, I've stopped tracksuit pants. I thought it's a slippery slope from there.
Well, funny, this links to our previous discussion. One of my ex-girlfriends used to call them alcoholic pants. And I'd be like, well, then I can't wear those. Because I don't want to look like an alcoholic.
And that's the worst kind of alcoholic, because at least alcoholics go to bars. They've got to put trousers
gray,
on.
You know the gray ones? The most problematic ones?
There's a stain here or there,
the light
always.
Gray, and there's like a mark just above some the knee sort of or something. There's the alcoholic pants. And people wear those on planes now. They have no shame. And I think South Africans, in particular, the guys, we dress pretty badly compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe and it doesn't matter how much money you have, by the way.
But maybe it's also just like a line of work thing as well. If you look internationally, people live in big cities where they're going to offices and built up things. They've got certain kind of jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas here, people make money in various ways.
Yeah.
With their hands, in the great out open.
Yeah.
In government. Yeah.
Government.
There's all kinds of ways that you can...
Yeah, you get lazy. Yeah. Don't need to impress people.
So what's news,
much?
Ben?
Yeah. So much, Gareth. I mean, it really is. It's just a joyous time right now. I think
you're having a joyous time.
I think I had a major breakthrough this week.
Oh, okay. Tell us more.
I feel like I had a major breakthrough this week.
Okay.
I've got this historical aching back issue, which is like a handbrake to me all my whole life.
Okay.
So I think what it actually is, and I'm willing to engage with people who know more about human anatomy than I do, is that I think I've just got a very tight psoas muscle. It's relentlessly stretched and tight because I've got this really big head.
Where's your psoas muscle?
Oh, James, if you can bring up a diagram of the psoas right now.
I thought you were going to try. You're going to turn around and just be like,
What, lower back?
It's the only thing that attaches the bottom to the top half of your body. So,
Jesus, that's a big job.
It's a huge job. So therefore, it's always stretching. It's always tense. It's always on the go. And so it goes from your hips.
James, seriously, try and find us a psoas muscle.
It goes into like the base of your spine.
Okay. So it's in the front or the back?
It goes from like, it's such a like middle kind of thing. You can't really go, I'm going to now massage your psoas. Like releasing of the psoas is hardcore. It's difficult. It
sounds a bit sexual.
Going to the chiro.
I mean, look, a chiro will know about it, but it's a process, right? It's a real process. So going back to this whole thing, because my head is so big, my body has to balance it when I walk. So that means that my hips go into a different position and my ribs are a bit different. So even when I breathe, I feel like my psoas is like stretching because it's
got identified this.
Well, through my greater understanding of my own anatomy and biomechanics, I think I now have this. Like, you know when you...
What do you want, James?
P.S. No. Starts with a P.S.
Oh, no.
O.A.S. Psoas.
What's wrong with you? Interrupting the show with your stupid questions. Don't you have Google? Sorry, Ben.
So if you picture a waiter with way too many things in a tray and they walk, right? And they've got the hand over here, whatever. And the rest of the body's all a mess. That's what my head is like. Because my head is so big, the rest of my body has to do these contortions. And I think my psoas never really gets a rest. And that's actually what creates all the pain.
So how do we solve this? Like, are you going to fix your head or are you just going to fix
your
muscle?
I can't fix my head. I mean, shrink.
Yes, you can. There are those
interesting start points.
There are those tribes that shrink heads in Central Africa.
I'm a modern person. I can't do that. It's about
3 years of your life.
Yeah, you know, like what's...
Like it's about breathing slightly differently, really working on how your diaphragm works. There's various exercises. Yeah, maybe have to walk a little bit differently.
Sure, this sounds like an investment.
Put it up on the screen.
It has
to be
there, guys, because if I can, it's just, over the age of 40, you're managing pain all the time, no matter what, okay? This is my major pain management thing.
Although, I mean, funny thing happened to me, and this is why I remark it, because you just brought it up now. I was driving into work this morning thinking, I feel great. Which doesn't happen every day. Like, you could always find something
nice
to moan
thing.
About. Yeah. I know, Simpiwe, you think this is hilarious because you're not so old.
But,
you know, like either you got sinus or, you know, you've something's making you sneeze, you got an allergy, or you're itchy, or your eyes are fucking dry, or there's always something. And this morning I was driving in thinking, man, I feel great. And I was suddenly filled with happiness and
you feel light
gratefulness
and capable and it's
welcome
amazing.
Welcome to the land of the living.
This is good. Put up that picture, James. Where is this goddamn psoas muscle?
James is going through an encyclopedic
collection. I think he's gone to find a, like an actual model of the human muscle anatomy to
James, at the moment, there we go.
Oh, Jesus, Ben, it goes from your spine through
top of the femur.
It goes through the sacrum.
It does a lot, is where I'm going
through
with
the pelvis.
And I think mine's overworked.
And you got two of those. You got,
yeah, each side. Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be a bit odd.
Okay, so what can you do about this? Because if it's overworked, you can't, it's not going to help to stretch it.
And... No, it's about trying to relax it and release it. So I think mine's in a constant state of flexion a lot of the time because of my spine angle and things like that. Again, I'm new to this absolute revelation of my own life.
But since you've identified it in your head, has there been any improvement?
Yeah, my hip tilting. So my hips are kind of, again, just to balance this head, right?
Yeah.
My hips have tilted in a certain way, which then I think,
you should see the size of Ben's pillows. Creates fucking enormous. They're the size of most people's queen size beds.
Yeah, those continental pillows are my actual my daily sleepers.
So the reason I ask isn't to insult and demean you, even though that's fun too. It's because a lot of back and neck issues are actually psychosomatic.
Mm-hmm. There's exactly.
Plenty of very decent research which shows that it doesn't matter how fit you are, it doesn't matter how much you stretch and look after yourself, how many different therapists and physiotherapists and biokineticists and chiropractors or whatever else you seek out to help you. A lot of those stresses and tensions are caused by the stress of life, the stuff that you're not dealing with mentally or so emotionally.
I'm glad you bring that up because I've always been a big fan of that as well. And the last few months, I've been putting a lot more effort into the fact that I don't have any pain. I'm just going to do whatever. And that also completely helps because I was reading a whole bunch of things a few months back about when you talk about something all the time, it absolutely defines who you are. And this guy was saying how he's herniated discs, this and that, but he wants to be a power lifter. So all he did was he spoke about being a power lifter rather than about being a guy with back issues.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm excited about this whole psoas thing is that it's probably just the only mechanical thing that I've really got an issue with. The other stuff you can work through, and I have been working through. And that's why I arise today.
Maybe there's a kind of doctor. Maybe there's a doctor who's a specialist in that.
No, there is. And it's just, it's new to me now, right? Because I've had these other issues. And as you say, you work through them mentally as well. And it's just, it's hugely exciting. Dry needling is something I've heard about.
Here's a comment from Chris says,
yeah, Chris, I'm new. I'm ready to roll with this.
Mapelo says, it's a pity you can't reduce your head, just like women can reduce their boobs when they have back problems. No.
Yeah. See, my other plan was just get a bigger body, but I can't put weight on and things like that. So, I mean.
Hey, Bronwyn says, have you ever tried a futon bed? You work your body hard during the day and then you rest in a soft, cushy bed. It's two extremes. A lot of people's beds are too soft for them.
Yeah, I had a futon in the 90s back when it came online, as in it was a cool thing to do.
Wait, but what kind of bed is
Morg
that?
Morg says, have you considered euthanasia?
No, I'm still far too vital for that.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then someone here, Mariska says, I recently met a practitioner of the Alexander technique. Might help, Ben. Check it out. Also sounds a bit dodge, but
Alexander.
Do you know anything about that, Simpiwe?
I don't.
Sounds very interesting.
Those ones, I don't know. Do that at your own risk, guys.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you are feeling better about that now that you've identified
small
the
increments
problem.
Of progress. That's what we're here for.
You're doing better than Cyril Cupcake. With identifying problems. Congratulations, Ben. That's excellent news. Now, we did talk a little bit about the royal portrait, which both Simpiwe and I hate. And that's getting a lot of attention this week, as is the NHI.
Sorry, I know that I'm probably late to this whole royal portrait thing because it's been a big week with other things. What is the significance of the all red and the blurred stuff?
It's just stupid modern artist. That's all. Someone is trying to make
red.
A statement. It's all about them and there it is again.
But the butterfly, they kind of explained it, why there's a butterfly on his shoulder. It's about how he wants to be perceived as a leader. And butterflies tend to be soft and you can approach them and kind, blah, 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 blah. So
it's not the fact that the chip on his shoulder has now grown wings now that he is king. Much better explanation. Approaching that guy.
Don't know.
That's as far as I know about that portrait.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, art represents the people and the time of life. And there is no great creativity.
That does not represent us. That.
Of course it does. You look at most stuff nowadays, it's tick box, it's crap, it's for effect, it's for eyeballs.
It's so horrible.
It's not about beauty, aesthetics, that kind of stuff. It's probably a fitting portrait of that man in 2024.
Well, yeah, good luck to him. I hope it goes better. Now, my friend Vinny Lingham is on a cruise in Athens, which I did last year, and he asked, like, what cool places can you go to? And I sent him a suggestion. But apparently there's a different kind of cruise that you've heard about, Ben.
Yeah. And
is it safe to talk about?
Only a little bit.
Sure, but it's just something I heard about this week I thought was quite interesting, is that there's obviously nudists all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And there's nudist colonies, there's nudist things you can do. Uh-huh. It's like a bit of a club.
A nude cruise.
There's a company. And it's not like some manky old boat with, like, you get fish fingers at night and you they drop you off somewhere like Caribbean adjacent. It's really like, it's super primo. The boats are amazing.
So you have to pay a lot of money. And then just to be naked, you take off your clothes.
Well,
do you walk in?
So basically, from what I gathered on a cursory kind
you
of look.
You walk in, tits out. Let's go. and you do a little dance as you go in as well.
So you have to be clothed, slightly clothed in certain areas. So I'd imagine,
We know why, right? Yeah, because imagine having dinner and there's some old man sitting opposite you with his leg up like this. And
here you are trying to have a
you're trying
langoustine.
To have your beef stroganoff.
Yeah. You got a force stroganoff, I think. Yeah, so this is
Burry roll. So it's a really wrinkly burry.
It's a really big deal, this thing, because these boats go to all the places. Okay, so some people is out, basically, is where we get gathering.
I don't
think
she wants to go on the cruise.
She's not taking a seat on this.
No, sir.
And imagine, like, some old lady with pancake titties sitting right opposite you while you're trying to have a pancake.
So this is exactly it, right? What's the average age of a cruiser? It's up there.
It's old.
It's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, does this sound at all appealing to either of you?
I've been on a fair number of these, and I'll tell you what, like, you do get occasionally a few people who are not in the 80s, but by and large,
it's up there.
Yeah, because it's also, look, it's not the most expensive holiday, and it has all its advantages, and I will always be a fan of this stuff. I'd say that you have to go on one if you can in your life, because it's a great way to travel. But I think it's because you're in one place and there are lifts and you can take your time. That's why it appeals to, like, extremely old people. I mean, it's a great way to go too. And we have lots of cruises in South Africa that are for young people, and they just get drunk and, like, puke off the side of the boat or whatever. But I think you're going to have old nude people. And this is the same problem that would put me off of any nude beach. It's never been on my agenda, but my God, if I think about the kind of people who I know who would be into nudism, naturalists or whatever they call themselves, naturists or whatever. Not the kind of people I want to see naked.
Well, it's always nice that you see a niche in life, because it means people are just being who they want to be.
Sure.
But yeah, I would never want to go on this.
No.
Never.
Even with the fancy food and...
No. I don't want people staring...
Ballroom dancing.
I don't like people staring at me. And if I were to go on a cruise with Daniela, I especially don't want people staring at us, and that would happen all day.
Yeah.
And that would be awkward.
Because you guys would be the only good looking people on there.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. Nice.
That's nice of her. And now Ben's thinking, well, maybe I should go.
No.
It's good to be the king.
Paint yourself all red.
I don't know.
Put a bat fly on my shoulder and walk around like, oh God.
Grant says, imagine the yoga classes on that ship. Oy, oy, oy.
No.
Everything you eat will taste like biltong, says Vias.
Would you even have an appetite?
You know what? It's not what it's advertised to be. That's the problem with this. And so much of the stuff that people who've never done these sexy things think is sex, it's never. It's never what you want. It's never what you imagine. Your imagination's a better place to explore these things, and rather keep it to yourself.
I mean, like, if you go on the websites, which James will obviously not pull up now, we'll probably get it next Thursday if we had to ask him to do it. Yeah. But they had these really cool pictures of, like, these people on board, naked, having a chat.
So
We've made the best of friends.
Cup of tea.
Yeah.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Let's and then they obviously the, stop off and go to the
entrance
beach.
Hall and have some Earl Grey tea. I don't see how that's better nude.
Imagine you had a big night, okay, and you're feeling a little bit seasick. You're waiting for a lift, and you wait, and you wait, and the door's open, and then he's like... There is an old guy scratching his bollocks or doing something revolting, and that's what you see. Like, how is that going to be a good start to a day?
Something revolting.
Because that's what, eventually, when you get older, you have less shame. So the guy's probably, there's like mirrors, and he's like looking at something or...
All right, so Tracy says there was a nudist range. I don't know, is that what they call the... It's like a reserve. Somerset West in the early 2000s. The owners ran out of money and it got sold. Now it's a lovely boutique hotel with a spa. But some guests still think it's a nude spa. Huh. Yeah. Sunburnt scrotum. What a time, says Nick.
Mm. Also that. Very sensitive part of the body, the scrotum.
Yeah. And Grant's going right for the kill, which I think is exactly right. 5 minutes at the gym bathroom will tell you exactly what you need to know. Perfect sample. Tackle everywhere. You just realize that clothes are actually important. So this links, Simpiwe, to the black wife effect. Mm-hmm. Rather, dress properly in public rather than try to get on a nude cruise and undress badly in public.
Yeah.
You know? Horrible. Let's get some sport done because otherwise we're going to be in trouble. What do you got for us this morning? Ben, of course, the sport brought to you by Superbets. You can go and find out all you need to know by heading over to Superbets. You can go straight to their website. If you haven't tried it already, you are missing out. Here is Beyond the Scoreboard. Tell us what's up.
Guys, this is a monstrously large week for golf. And it has been, it's like the run-up was even so great for this weekend. Okay, so it's the PGA Champs. It's the second major of the year. Of course, it's four majors in a year. And Rory McIlroy is a huge player in golf for many, many reasons. But one of them is that he hasn't won a major in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like the Proteas in that sense. He's really great. He gets your hopes up. And then it comes to the big thing, nothing. 10 years, right? But now 10 years ago, he won his last major at the golf course they are playing the PGA Champs at right now. 10 years ago, he won the weekend before the PGA Champs. So this last week he won. He absolutely blew everyone away at Quail Hollow. And 10 years ago, he was single. Now, this week also, it's come out that he's filed for divorce.
Mm.
So he's going to be on a tear. And this is what the big preview of the week's been.
So is this the divorce
been.
Effect now?
Well, so he was married for 7 years and he won zero majors in that seven-year period.
Ooh.
So, I mean, you want to talk about the
That's
black wife
correlation.
Effect.
Not necessarily causation, but it's a correlation.
It's in the mix, right? And prior to this, I think the first woman he ever slept with was Caroline Wozniacki. Let me look at Rory McIlroy. If it wasn't for golf, he's probably working in Asda's.
Yeah.
So he got engaged to Caroline Wozniacki, and then he was like, whoa, actually, you probably had a chat with Tiger, and Tiger's like, you know, you don't have to, like, marry the first girl you sleep with. So he's like, okay, I'm calling it off. As he called off the engagement, he won two majors that year.
Well, it gives you a singular focus.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I think with a guy like that, it's just, that's his game.
Okay.
Let's be fair though, Ben. I mean, we all know some guys who are actually better when they're in a relationship because they are more focused. They are, the girlfriend's a good influence, the wife. Mm-hmm. They make them a little more dedicated to whatever it is. Because if they're a bit wild and loose, some guys spin out of control. But if your focus is golf, they can actually, you know, confuse and distract you.
Well, I think with high-octane people, you need that. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, who we spoke about recently, you know, his hard life is the fact that his life is so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is a he's a man of faith. He's high school sweethearts, his wife. They've just had a kid. We'll get to him in a second. That's his road. I don't think McIlroy should be this road. And now he's got the same divorce lawyer that Tiger used. So everything's aligning here for this guy. And it's just so great to see him, okay? So that was the sort of pre-run into this PGA Champs. Everyone's like, Rory is going to be the favorite for this thing.
Gotcha.
And yesterday started out pretty well. He shot a 66, so he's 5 under. Hmm. But Xander Schauffele, who's a name that, again, you will never be able to sort of get right, 62. Hmm. There's only been 4 62s in major championship history. This folks got 2 of them. So he is leading right now 9 under. So I ran a competition this week on my site where you can win a pair of golf shoes if you get the winning score for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Right. And most people are saying 12, 13 for the whole week for the tournament. This oak is 9 under already after round 1. Tony Finau is behind him, 3 behind on 65, and Sahith Tagala also 65, and Mark Hubbard. So look, it's a major, so you know it's the best of the best. I think Rory has this one. He has to have this one. Scottie Scheffler is a little bit further back. He shot 67 yesterday, so he's five shots back. Now, Scottie Scheffler, family values. His caddy is not going to be there on Saturday.
Okay.
Because this is kids' graduation, whatever. So he's like, yeah, cool, whatever.
All right.
So that's obviously going to come into the mix as well.
Will that actually affect him?
Well, he's just so good. Maybe not. I don't know. Brooks Koepka, of course, defending champion, lives big chance. He's also at four under. Mm-hmm. So we've got a stacked leaderboard. We've got Rory McIlroy with all to prove and newly single. I know the tournament's already started, so the odds are going to be quite short on all of these guys. But I think Rory's our guy. I really do. I think it's, I mean, everyone says this from time to time. Like I said, the Proteus reference here is really strong. Everyone thinks this is it. He can't keep losing. This has got to be it. It's been 10 years since the circuit won it. The circuit was going to be the next Tiger.
Shame. Everything about, almost giving up on him, right?
Yeah. 10 years, a long time. A long time in your prime. But he's just turned 35, so he's still got some years in him. He hits the balls. Well, he is, yeah. I mean, he's been around for so long. And yeah, look, everyone's a winner in the situation, right? The wife gets lots of money. Rory's now single. Most kids grow up without like their parents being married. So, I mean, it's just a win-win. And we get to now watch the PGA Champs with all of this happening. So, like all things nowadays in major golf, there's no real South Africans to look after or get excited about. So, the guys I mentioned there, those are your big ones for the weekend. Outside of that, not the hugest, like most exciting weekend. You know, it's the last weekend of the Premier League football, which there's always dynamics at play, right? Is who's going to win? Who's going to get the European spot? Who's going to get relegated? And unfortunately, it's all kind of been decided. So Spurs, thanks very much. Although hopes were not high. They rolled over against Man City midweek to lose 2-0. Okay, so Man City, they're on 88 points right now. So all they need to do is win. And then they win the whole thing again. They're playing West Ham at home. Okay, so Sunday, 5 o'clock. All the games are in the same time. Okay. So there's no match fixing. Sunday, Man City versus West Ham. They'll walk that and take up the trophy. If they don't, if for some reason they do not win this thing, for some reason they go, not going to happen. And they have a draw. They go to 89 points, which Arsenal can still get to. Arsenal currently are 86. They take on Everton over the weekend. Everton are up and down. I would back Arsenal to win that one. So the key thing here is that if Man City just has that draw, they go to 89 and the goal difference stays the same.
Okay.
Currently, Arsenal have a one goal better goal difference.
Okay.
So I know I'm talking mathematically here and I'm being very hopeful. So if you are a neutral, you want Man City to kind of stumble and draw, and you want Arsenal to do really, really well, because that'll make for a great dynamic. Because then what happens is the games are on at the same time, and you get the split screen action. That's what you really want. So look, again, hopes are kind of nowhere. Aston Villa, they've signed up fourth place because Spurs lost in the week, as I said. And then on the bottom side, Sheffield United, they're gone. They won three times this whole year. So they're not going to stay in the Premier League. Just three wins of all these
games. I heard a squeak come out of there from James. Happy about that or sad?
That must be such a downer here. Like you get into the Premier League and you win three times. It's a long season of just taking
losing.
It. Burnley, also shite. They're on 24 points. They've gone. Now, Luton are the last relegated team. Yeah, it's a shame to see them go down. But, you know, again, mathematically, if Nottingham Forest lose and the next one's up and Luton win, they need to win by like 14 goals or something stupid.
Oh, wow. That's so, not happening.
Yeah, I'd love to give you more permutations and excitement around these fixtures, but unfortunately, it's just not there. If you do want permutations and excitement, of course, IPL weekend, because next week is the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
So we've got...
people still watching the IPL, Ben?
Sure they are. Those Indian people love the IPL. I can't dabble in IPL.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. You know, like you go to a party and there's beers and you might have a shot here and there and someone's got marijuana or someone's got mushrooms. You can't do it all. That's what I'm saying. Here. You can't do it all. So I always give the IPL a bit of a leave outside the off stump. But the Kolkata Knight Riders, top of the log. So obviously you want to finish the top and you get a best chance of getting into the final. Rajasthan Royals are on second. Chennai Super Kings third and Sunrisers Hyderabad fourth. So again, it's not really, I can't see any other team coming into the playoffs other than those four teams. So Saturday's game with permutations around it, the RCB are taking you on the CSK. Now, if you do like the IPL, then you know what I'm talking about with acronyms. If you don't watch the IPL, don't worry. So RCB versus CSK, and that's a Saturday at 4. Sunday, we'll get the Sunrisers Hyderabad versus the Punjab Kings. That'll be at 12. And then the best game of all, the top two teams in the log right now. The Rajasthan Royals will take on the Kolkata Knight Riders at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Once those games are done, we'll know who's going to the playoffs next week, which start on Tuesday. There's also Formula One this weekend at Imola. So that's in Italy, at the Ferrari racetrack. I think it must be the Ferrari racetrack because it's called Dino and Enzo or something, something. Okay, guys, we're getting out to the drinks here.
We really are big on Formula One on this show. Can you tell?
That's it. So let's wrap it up with the URC. So okay, I left this to the last because this is actually still bloody exciting. So the Bulls won last week, but the Glasgow Warriors somehow eked out a losing bonus point with 4 tries. Like, the Bulls were killing them, and they had to kill them because they want to try finish top four. Mm-hmm. And then they just sort of went, I don't know if the Loftus DJ started playing too many treffers in a row, but they lost their focus. So Glasgow Warriors still on top with 60 points. Okay, everyone's got 2 rounds left. Then Leinster on 59, Munster on 58, and Bulls 56. Stormers had a good win last week, so they're into 5th place on 50 points. Then we've got Ulster, Edinburgh, and Benetton to fill up the rest of the qualification spots. Mm-hmm. So when I say they've got 2 rounds left, they've got this round here, and then there's a little break for the EPCR Challenge Cup final and the Investec Champions Cup final.
Sure.
So this weekend is a really big deal. Then they have a break, and they come back for the final one. So to look forward to this weekend, tonight we've got Zebra versus Scarlets 8:35, Edinburgh versus Munster 8:35. Then tomorrow, the Bulls at Loftus versus Benetton at 2. Benetton is the Italian team. They just beat the Sharks narrowly. So they are still vying for that top 8 spot. So everything's on here. It's not like this is a second string team. This doesn't really matter. These guys are playing something else. Everything is on here. Then the Lions will take on Glasgow at 4 o'clock. And again, like, the Lions need to throw some punches here, technically speaking here, not physically in the face.
Otherwise they get thrown up.
For the log here. If Glasgow don't
red
get
cards,
any,
baby.
If Glasgow don't get any points this weekend, that's great. So go the Lions. Connacht will be hosting the Stormers at 6:05. The Sharks are taking on Cardiff. And then Ulster will wrap up the weekend hosting Leinster from there. So fantastic URC rugby. Go the Buller, because I don't think they're going to switch off this week. Last week I told you they won a big margin and they were doing it. Mm-hmm. And then they went to sleep. I don't know what it was. Newbury on the Bry. And then football-wise, look, Man City are going to win this. Sorry.
That's what it is.
Sorry.
And then, there we go. That's your bet.
And then, you'll get 0 odds. Actually, they'll ask you for more money and stop being stupid if you bet on Man City. That's how done deal this is. And then, I know it's just an easy thing to say, but I want Rory McIlroy to win the PGA Champs. I think it'd be so good for golf. The field is absolutely stacked. And
would it be a bad thing for relationships?
I think it's just funny because all guys want to talk about the smack talk around this kind of stuff because majority of golfers are over their marriages.
Mm.
That's not exactly a revelation. It's not like I'm opening a can of worms.
That's
here.
Why they got into golf.
That's why they set out of golf, because they look frumpy and they've kind of given up and they're on 4 beers before they've had lunch. So it's a cool story
and
for guys.
I found out, because I never play golf, but I found out from a friend of mine who does, that they also have these tarts at the halfway stop. Who wear skimpy clothes and hold up signs.
Wait, motivation?
Well, they did it this golf day.
You might get a golf day and they might spend...
No, they had tarts in skimpy outfits.
Okay, put into more sophisticated English, sometimes what happens at golf days is you get promotional girls at water holes.
That's what I mean. I don't know. Tarts.
Okay, so that's...
Does that help? Does it...
It doesn't help the golf game.
Look, if you're over 40 and your prostrate's your biggest problem in life and you never talk to young girls, it might help you. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, but in the mix.
All right. Well, maybe he's the guy to bet on then.
Sure.
I mean, I keep bringing up the bets because, of course, as you know, Superbet brings you the sport here on the show. And they also support responsible gambling, not irresponsible gambling like Simpiwe does. Strictly no under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. It is 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have a whole lot more. We're going to talk about a formula for happiness, believe it or not, among other things. Also, what is the best name ever? Because it contains 8 other names. And we're going to talk a little bit about the celebrity block trend. I don't know anything about this, but Simpiwe does. Stick around.